Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Having said that, though, we're going to talk to Heather Sharone a lot about what's happening these days. Heather from thedailyline.net. Heather, as always, it's so good to chat with you.
It's nice to chat with you too, John. And I too have been going on a lot more walks lately. So there you go.
Yeah, and for some reason they work. And boy, today was a nice one. And we're gonna enter a stretch of some really nicer weather here. And hey, that's something, right?
It is. But the mayor said today that it's really important that people don't let their guards down when the weather gets nice, that people have to stay home. They have to stay at least six feet away from other people so that we can continue to try to flatten the curve of this virus.
That's a fair point, because last time we had a big issue was when we had to shut down the lakefront trail and the 606. We haven't really had a good weather day until today, and it still was a little on the chilly side. Since then, we've had a lot of cloudy days and some rain and some cool days. But yeah, as we get to this weekend, so I think people just have to be vigilant, right? I mean, it's your wingspan, essentially, if you're around 6 feet. It's a little bit more than that if you aren't. Just move out of the way. Let people go by. It's okay to take a step off the sidewalk for a moment just to kind of keep that distance. And no one's going to look at you weird.
And even if they do, it's not worth risking being exposed to the virus, because as we're learning more and more about it, it's clear that even if you feel perfectly healthy, you can still transmit the virus, which is why it is so difficult and why we're all stuck in our houses for another month.
Hey, I wanted to lead off. Mayor Lightfoot smacked down Paul Vallis today.
Sure did. I caught a little bit of Twitter heat from Paul Vallis, who, of course, ran for mayor last year and did not come anywhere close to the finishing in the top. And he had some very harsh words for her today. He said that her repeated statements that Chicago's budget is fine, that, you know, doesn't have to take drastic action, strains credulity. And I've covered the mayor long enough now to know that there could be no greater insult to her to imply that she's being less than transparent or forthcoming with the people of Chicago. So when I saw that he had written that in an opinion column in the Tribune, I knew that the mayor would want to respond to that. And she certainly did.
Yeah, I mean, she went after him. I don't know if she feels emboldened by her new meme status, or to be honest, she's always kind of been, she gets a little testy.
Yes, no, she definitely can. She does not suffer fools greatly, and we joke on the press corps that her favorite response to reporters is that she is, I'm going to dispute the premise of your question. She does that all the time. So
it's almost like she was a prosecutor.
Almost, you would think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
she said that it was unfortunate, and quote, some people are desperate to be relevant. And she mentioned that Paul Vallis, who was the budget director under former Mayor Richard Daley, really hasn't been involved in local government for a couple of decades.
His point isn't entirely, you know, wrong in that we do need to worry about what this is doing to our budget. But at the same time, you can fix economic issues, but you can't bring people back to life. So I don't know. It's like, I get it, but maybe there was the tone and the timing of it that just seemed a little off to me, too.
Right. And you know, what's also very interesting, and you can read more about this in the Daily Line tomorrow morning, is that Lightfoot's approach is very different than that of Governor J.B. Pritzker, who said again today that he is basically starting from scratch for a 2021 budget plan, and that he is still working to develop projections and estimates that a budget plan could be based on. Now, Mayor Lightfoot says, look, Chicago was a couple steps ahead because they built their projections for 2021 assuming that there was going to be an economic downturn. Now, you know, Mayor Lightfoot doesn't have a crystal ball. She's not psychic. There were many economists were warning that that was a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
And she says that that's why they took a very conservative approach. She also says that Chicago's revenue sources are diversified. So no more than 13% of the city's budget revenues comes from any one source. And then no more than 25% of its revenues come from economically sensitive sources like sales tax and the state income tax. So that means Chicago is better set to weather this economic catastrophe that we're all living through all of a sudden.
I'm on a self-imposed press conference ban. I did catch a little of the presidents today just kind of passing in and out of the house between the walks that I was talking about. But I haven't watched the governor's one in a couple days or with Mayor Lightfoot at all either. I've seen the numbers, though, and is there any good news? I guess it's more like, you know, that there's obviously more testing, but they're really kind of bracing us for a bad couple weeks here.
That's right. So today there were more than 900 new cases of coronavirus confirmed, including, and there was the first death of a city employee, and Mayor Lightfoot was understandably somber about that. And there were also 26 deaths announced today. So that is the largest total we've seen since this began, which is very sobering, but it's not unexpected. You know, people get sick with this virus, and it takes 2 weeks for those tests really to confirm symptoms. So it's a little bit like we now know what was happening 2 weeks ago, which, of course, was the day after the primary election. So we're sort of looking back in the past, even though we didn't know it was happening then and how bad it was going to get. So the mayor did say there was a little glimmer of hope in that the number of cases are not doubling every 2 days anymore. They're doubling closer to every 3 or 4 days. And that might seem like cold comfort, but it is crucial as, officials work to prevent the city's and really the state's healthcare system from being overloaded. So it might not seem like a lot of comfort, but that is something that is good, and it does show that people staying home is having a desired effect, even if it's hard to see.
Luckily, I haven't really heard, and maybe I'm just sheltered or living in my own bubble, which is totally true for sure. But I haven't heard people saying, oh, this isn't working. I think everyone is still kind of the mindset. And let me know if I'm wrong, listeners, 312-981-7200. If you honestly have that opinion that you're worried that this isn't working, let me know. I imagine that's a gut instinct that a lot of people have. But it seems like everyone, at least on a government level and everyone that I'm talking to, it's still, hey, yes, put your head down. This is going to work. This is what all the science has indicated is what needs to happen. And it won't happen unless we do this.
That's right. I think that is 100% correct. And that's, I think, part of what makes this crisis so difficult, because we are not seeing an immediate impact. You know, it's not like there's a fire and we call the fire department and we can watch them put out the flames and we can see, the flames end. It's just not the way this crisis is working, and that makes it more difficult.
When we look at unemployment numbers and access to unemployment, it's not looking good for gig workers.
Well, help is on the way. So
okay.
The federal relief package that was just signed into law extends unemployment insurance benefits for gig workers. So if you're an Uber driver, or if you're a hairstylist, or if you're a freelancer, normally, under normal circumstances, if you lost your job, you could not go to the state and file for unemployment benefits. However, the law was changed now so that you can apply for unemployment benefits, but the state system, which is completely overwhelmed with regular workers trying to claim unemployment, hasn't set up the rules to let gig workers do that. So it's coming. It's not there yet, but it is. It gives you a sense of how completely overwhelmed the state bureaucracy is.
CPA not having to pay rent, it looks like, moving forward for a little bit.
That's right. So if you are a Chicago Housing Authority resident, you won't have to pay rent at least until April 30th, when the stay-at-home order is lifted, or at least when it's scheduled to be lifted. And the mayor today urged private landlords to also act with grace, as she said, as people struggle to pay their bills because so many have lost their jobs.
I said CPA, I meant CHA. Thanks for correcting me, Heather, without calling me out.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, you're very kind. But y'all don't listen. Here's what just happened. The host made a mistake, and she politely corrected me without actually calling me out. That's why Heather keeps on coming back, everybody. All right, Heather.
Always make the host look good. Yes. That's the first rule of radio.
Oh, it's tougher than it ever has been with me sitting in this chair. any other notes or stories or things from either the press conference or beyond that is going a little under the radar for people?
Well, you know, I think that we saw both Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot go on national television again today to again criticize the president for his handling of the pandemic. And Governor Pritzker said that Vice President Mike Pence told him that federal projections don't believe that Illinois is going to need as many ventilators as the state has asked for. The governor insists that they think that the need is real and that they are working to get those ventilators by hook or by crook. But it wasn't so much today, but you know, the governor has clearly been very, very frustrated with the federal response. And the mayor, for her part, is pretty much ignoring the federal government, and that she sees Chicago and Illinois are sort of going to have to fend for themselves and do what they can to make sure that as many people make it through this crisis as possible. So I think that's something to watch in the coming days as we keep a close eye on whether the healthcare system does, in fact, get overwhelmed.
I have no doubt that Governor Pritzker feels that way about the federal government. And from sources that I have that have been working on state commissions for first responders and in the hospitals, too, there is a lot of people upset, especially initially how the federal government has reacted. Some of my sources have said that it's gotten a little bit better, that communication is getting better. Does the governor run the risk of, as if he says it every single day, that people are going to start to tune out that message?
You know, it's interesting. He has briefed the press every day since this crisis really began. So he has been really the public face, the state's response. And I suppose there's always a risk for people tuning out something that they've heard before. And I certainly know that that's something I guard against as a reporter, because if you hear the same politicians say the same thing every day for a week, you might not think it's very important. But the governor has said that he does these briefings and that he updates the people of Illinois on how much personal protective equipment the state has and what sort of, you know, strain the hospital system is under. He's said this before, to arm people with the facts. And I think he feels very committed to doing that, you know, whatever the downside might be.
We've heard about McCormick Place set to become a 3,000-bed hospital. Has that gone into effect yet? Do we know when it is, or is it a contingency plan?
Well, there are 500 beds that are set to be up and running by the end of the week. They have not accepted their first patients yet, and eventually, based on need, it could expand up to 3,000 beds. But the issue is that there are enough workers right now to staff those 500 beds, but if it grows larger than that, there's a real need, which is why the city and the state have asked for former healthcare workers, retired healthcare workers, and really anybody with healthcare training to volunteer and come sort of play a role in the active response.
Yeah, we definitely need anybody we can get. Hannah's been doing some incredible work for thedailyline.net, in addition to you, Heather, too, and Alex and all of your fine reporters. This one flew under the radar for me, that DCFS is going to protect those that are aging out of the foster care after advocates really stepped up for that.
That's right, because typically, once you turn 18 or 21, depending on your case, you are no longer, you're not a part of the state's care system. You can't be in foster care, and in some cases, you have to move out of transitional living facilities. And advocates were concerned that that was going to, you know, honestly, make some of the state's most vulnerable young people homeless at a time that just is really among the worst case scenarios. So the state has agreed to sort of waive those requirements and allow people to stay as much as possible where they are and to keep getting those services. We also reported several weeks ago that an effort to move some of these foster kids to a brand new health care coverage system has also been delayed because of the pandemic and concern that would just create a whole other host of problems that nobody is really equipped to deal with right now.
Man, you guys have such great content. I've always known this at thedailyline.net, but I'm just scrolling through stories, and you guys got a lot of angles I hadn't thought about. And Heather's not, I mean, you know everything that happens on the site, but listeners out there, I didn't give her a list of all these questions. So, Heather, you're always able to defer to later if you'd like. But the interesting article about Illinois Child Abuse Hotline, that the calls are dropping by nearly half, and someone might think that that's good news, but it's not good news. And I was chatting this morning, too, on the Jam on our Facebook Live about domestic violence hotline numbers are going down. And of course, the reason why it's not good news is people are living in their homes and aren't able to kind of get out of earshot of some of these things. And that's something that people, local officials, state officials are wary of right now.
That's right. There's probably a huge hidden crisis going on right now in terms of both domestic abuse and child abuse that state officials and advocates can't really help with, because you know, children are most often, you know, reported, you know, for suspected cases of abuses by their teachers, by their, you know, playground aides, by other parents. And if nobody's leaving their house, there's nobody to see, you know, those bruises or to call for help. And yeah, that is a grave concern for a lot of people. So on one hand, you know, you're right. You would think, wow, abuse calls are way down. That's great. But it's just a sign that the usual protections are in place are breaking down as we sort of aren't in public anymore. And this is, you know, one of those things that keeps me up at night worrying about a little bit.
I just want to, while I have that on that topic, domestic violence abuse line, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, excuse me, is 1-800-799-7233. If you're listening to this and you need help and there's some way that you are able to make that call, please do so, of course. And they're still trying to help people out in any way that they can. Heather, the next couple days obviously are critical. I think everyone's bracing for those numbers to continue to, well, I don't know about rise, but stay, at least the new case numbers to be there. And you guys will be covering it every step of the way.
We sure will. By hook or by crook, we'll be there.
I love that you love that saying, by hook or by crook. I had never heard it before I met you, Heather. And you and I have been chatting for about 4 or 5 years now, and you use it in such a polite, great way. Where can people find out more information and then get involved in what you guys do?
TheDailyLine.net, and you can follow me on Twitter at Heather Sharone, and we're at TheDailyLineShy.
Heather, thanks so much for stopping by.
Anytime, John. Hang in there.
Yep.